So beautiful to be together on the Feast of St. Joseph, this memorial of St. Joseph in the year of St. Joseph. St. Joseph obviously holds a special role in the order of Carmelites. St. Teresa of Avila was so responsible for spreading devotion to St. Joseph as she found in him a spiritual father upon the loss of her own father and established him as patron of her Carmels. And she saw in him a real model of contemplative life. And as we think about St. Joseph in work, his silence, as Pope John Paul II said, gives the interior portrait of the contemplative way that he lived, the contemplative way that he approached reality, including his way of approaching work. And so that becomes a model for certainly for all Carmelites, really for all Christians. That's why he's raised up as patron of the Universal Church. St. Joseph is also, in a special way, entrusted with those passages that we've been talking about, the nights, that night of the senses and the night of the spirit. St. Joseph appears in Scripture almost exclusively in the night. We encounter him on the verge of dreams, in the midst of dreams, waking up from dreams, when he takes his bride to Bethlehem. He's looking for an inn because it's night and they need to sleep. And then we encounter him again when the shepherds are awakened by night or are at keeping watch by night and are surprised by a vision, and they come and find the Holy Family by night. The Magi are following a star that stands guard at the house where the newborn Savior is. So, of course, if they can see a star, it's also by night. St. Joseph is awakened in a dream, and he heads out to Egypt by night. St. Joseph is the man who lives in the night. And for this reason is also a great consolation for us, helping us to navigate the nights of this life. And the image of the St. Joseph carrying the lantern is one of my favorites because it indicates that he's out there by night, but he also carries that light, ultimately the light of Christ, but that light that comes to us through so many natural lights, as we've been talking about this morning. The light of Christ is refracted through those goods, those many goods that we have in our life. Finite goods, but goods all the same. Finite goods that direct us toward that infinite good. Finite goods that are sacramental revelations of the infinite good that we are made for. And that little lantern is not much compared to the light of Christ, but it's better than no lantern at all. And St. Joseph is the one who can carry that lantern for us as we learn to draw close to him in silence and in hiddenness. Silence and hiddenness, nights, and suffering come to us whether we want it or not. Sometimes when we get involved in the spiritual journey, we get a little bit enthusiastic about how we can take control of our spiritual journey, and we start to impose on ourselves certain penances, which always leads us into a bit of a conundrum because we try to apply these penances and then we suffer from them and fail at them and at some level don't understand what they're about anyway. And then we get upset at ourselves for failing at the sufferings that we've imposed on ourselves and the penance that we're trying to live out because we want to tackle the spiritual life and conquer it. And then it leads to a whole, we get all kind of knotted up inside, I think, in that effort. But rather than taking that kind of approach to the active night, it's actually, it does require our effort, and we do apply our willpower, and we exercise our minds, and we engage the good things in reality and the set out on that path of the spiritual journey. But sooner or later, we run into that night of failure, that night of difficulty, that night of not being able to do it. And it becomes disorienting. And then we're faced with, do we try harder or do we surrender to a greater vision, surrender to a greater love? And when we find ourselves in that night, and it comes sooner rather than later, it comes often enough, we don't have to create it for ourselves so much, because there's plenty of crosses to go around without fashioning our own, you know. But when we find ourselves in that place of the night, one of the consolations is knowing Saint Joseph is already there. He's already there waiting for us. He's already there with his little lantern. It doesn't cast that much light, but it gives us enough light to help us take the next step. And he's there with a hand outstretched as a spiritual father, inviting us to take his hand and to walk with him in the night. He doesn't have the power to make the sun rise, but he has the power in love to give us the consolation we need to guide us by the next step and to walk with us, to make that journey with us. And we can take a deep breath knowing that he'll figure it out. As we don't get the impression that Mary was a worrier, when Joseph woke her up by night, she might have had some, she naturally would have some worry at some level, you know, she's human. She also faces the limitations of her own humanity. But God gave her Saint Joseph to be able to lean on. And so when he woke her by night and said, God has told me in a dream to take the child and his mother by night and go to Egypt, she was able to entrust herself to that. Even though she was the holier of the two, God revealed his will to Saint Joseph, and Saint Joseph led Mary out by night, and she was able to trust in him. Mary was also very aware of the companionship of Saint Joseph when she experienced another night when that child was lost in the temple for 3 days. Lost, he knew where he was. He wasn't lost, but he was lost to them. They didn't know where he was. And when Mary found him, your father and I, she calls Joseph his father, by the way, your father and I have been searching anxiously for you. So we get a little light into Mary's anxiety. But how much worse would the anxiety have been without Saint Joseph? She was very aware of his presence. Not I've been searching anxiously for you, but your father and I. And there was a mutual leaning on each other that could happen there. As that sacrament of marriage, the primordial sacrament, remained there. Sacrament of Mary and Joseph. And I think one of the beautiful things in this time of revelation of Saint Joseph, it's focused our attention back on the family. For many centuries in the church, we readily focused on Mary and Jesus, but now with St. Joseph, our focus is on the family. Mary and Jesus aren't a family, but Mary and Jesus and Joseph are a family. And so we have that family through whom God has created the world and the family through whom God has redeemed the world when we bring Joseph back into the equation. Mary was certainly aware of her need for him. And in a certain way, we could say that St. Joseph was necessary even for the incarnation, not because he had a marital union with Mary that produced the fruit of Jesus, but in a different way, he did have a marital union with Mary through their vows, through the lifelong sacrament. And it was only after that marital union of their vows, not yet living together, but their vows all the same that were a real bond, a lifelong bond. It was only after that union that the fruit of Jesus came forth. And so St. Augustine could say that their marriage did bear fruit. It bore, in fact, the greatest fruit that any marriage has ever borne. Not just a sacramental depiction in the image and likeness of God, but God himself in the incarnate word Jesus Christ. And so the marriage God created, redeemed the world through a marriage. And that union of opposites, the complementarity of male and female, is a necessary sign, an important sign of the kind of union that God wants to bring about in divinity and humanity. That sign of the spousal union being really the sign of the union of heaven and earth. So we have that beautiful example in St. Joseph, the focus back on the family and on the marriage, that primordial sacrament. In our gospel passage, we also see the way that St. Joseph meets us in the night. St. Joseph also protects what is precious. And we have a little indication of that by the fact that the people of Nazareth have been living with the incarnate word and the Immaculate Conception for several decades, and they have no idea who's next door. Because when the incarnate Word begins to reveal himself, they say, who is this? Where did this man get such wisdom and mighty deeds? And then we get an indication of Joseph, the holiest man who ever lived, who was also one of the most hidden. Is he not the carpenter's son? That's all they knew of Joseph. Now, there are some beautiful human qualities in that. They identified Joseph with his work. He was the carpenter. And that gives us some indication of how they must have thought of him. And we can imagine in affectionate ways, when you have something broken, go to Joe. He'll fix it up for you. When you need something in your house, go to Joe. He'll provide it for you. They identified him with his work, and it gives us some sense of how he must have made a gift of himself through his work. He was the carpenter. When we identify a man by his work, he's the farmer. He's the businessman. He's the milkman. He's the mailman. You know, we identify a man through his work, and we see the way that he expresses himself, gives himself as a gift of love through his work. And Joseph apparently did that as a carpenter. And so Jesus is the carpenter's son, identifying Joseph as the carpenter. But we also get a sense of how Joseph lived a very ordinary life. This was not a family from which people expected wisdom and mighty deeds to come forth. And yet, was there ever a time in the Holy Family that there wasn't wisdom and in some way mighty deeds, not miracles necessarily, but expressions of charity that were magnificent, that were so sweet in the qualities of sensitivity and tenderness that they must have carried, heroic in the sacrifices that they entailed? Was there ever a time that the Holy Family lived without the wisdom of understanding what God was communicating in his law and the ways that he was directing them in their family life? And yet they kept it so hidden. And that's the way that Joseph also can keep hidden those secrets of the heart, keep precious those things that are so sensitive that we carry deep within us. Joseph understands it, and Joseph also veils it so that they would never throw their pearls before swine. The swine of the first order being the demons themselves, of course, who didn't know where the Holy Family lived. St. Ignatius of Antioch said that it was because of the veil of Joseph's marriage that the devil overlooked the family, because he was looking for a virgin, not a married woman. So Joseph's marriage provides a veil over the family. Joseph's humility, obedience, and silence provide the best protection against the attacks of Herod. It's the Magi who lost sight of the star because they got caught up in the secular power of the city lights, who went to ask Herod where to find the child, the noble ruler who had been born. And they tipped off that man so possessed by the devil that he flew into a rage and slaughtered all of the children under the age of 2. Perhaps if they had remained in the darkness and kept their eyes on the star, the heavenly lights, maybe even that slaughter of the innocents wouldn't have happened. But certainly it was not by raising up an army that Joseph battled Herod. Rather, he slipped away from the devil's sight, disappearing into the night, obedient to the Lord's command, humble in his care for Mary and Jesus, and silent in not uttering a word, but simply slipping away into Egypt in obedience to God. We have so much to learn from St. Joseph. I wrote a book on him. I'll make it available. Apparently they don't have it in the bookstore. And I could keep going on for another couple of hundred pages, but we don't want our mass to last that long. So I'll just leave it with that encouragement again. Wherever you're experiencing the night, that place of disorientation, because it's the place that we run into the limits of ourselves, the limits of our senses and the limits of our minds and the limits of our wills, the night of the senses and the night of the spirit. Wherever you find yourself running into your limits, just stretch out a hand and let St. Joseph be a spiritual father for you. Give you permission to embrace that spiritual childhood like St. Therese described. And then allow the little lantern of Joseph's fatherhood and tender love for you just to give you enough light to take the next step. a step in faith that's always a step closer to our Lord.